You are listening to Salty Believer Unscripted, a conversation on Christian ministry and the Christian life.
This is Salty Believer Unscripted. I'm Josiah Walker.
I'm Brian Catherman.
And this is an exciting day on Salty Believer Unscripted because we're starting a new series today called The Bible.
Woohoo! It's been a while since we've been in a series.
Yeah, we'll probably wrap this up in two episodes. Pretty easy topic here.
What?
No, we're really wanting to do just a deep dive into the Bible, into God's Word, and really unpack what the Bible is and answer a lot of questions surrounding the Bible.
And you're talking about the Bible itself, not the narrative of the Bible or the contents in the Bible. You're talking about, we're going to talk about the mechanics and the pieces of the Bible.
Absolutely, and probably a lot of other stuff. But I feel like in today's episode, as we're kicking off this series, we should probably start with the question, what is the Word of God? And I feel like the short answer is the Bible, but something tells me there's a deeper answer to that.
Yeah, so here's the thing. The Bible, as we have it, like 66 books, canonized in the order we have it, didn't fall out of the sky magically. It just didn't land on the ground and someone picked up and went, hey, what is this? Right? This is...
Well, no, I bought mine off Amazon. But
yeah, so, I mean, it didn't come to us that way, though. It came to us in a much bigger, broader way, starting with, we have a written communication of God's word. And what I'm not going to say is like oral tradition that's passed down for thousands of years, telephone game, but we have a written tradition, but the word of God, it goes way, it's way bigger than that. We have a part. So let's just unpack maybe the question. You said, what is the word of God? What is the word of God? So I don't think the answer is the Bible, although the Bible contains the word of God. I think the answer is much bigger. So I want to start with like John 1.
Sure. Okay?
In the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we find out, we get down about John 1:14, and we find out that Jesus is the living embodiment of the Word of God. And so there's an aspect that the Word is a person, right? The Word is Jesus. But that's not all, and that's where this thing gets really complex. The word of God is also the words decreed or spoken by God. So that's what created everything. You know, that creation is by the word, the decree of God. And that starts out in the very beginning, right? God speaks.
Sure.
There'll be light. The very beginning, when we read our Bible, we discover that there's this word aspect, this decree, and by his word, the heavens are made. The word is like the breath of God, and we've written that down some. And so that's another way to think about it. A person, the decrees, there's God. So that's, I don't even know how to, there's God speaking to people.
Right.
And so it's not just the decrees or the declarations, like, okay, it's like the word of God talking to the storm when Jesus is in the boat. Be still. The storm, the weather, the earth recognizes the decree, the word of God from Jesus, because it's the same word that created it. But then there's also like God speaking to people, like with Moses or Jesus, the incarnate word, speaking to people in senses of personal address. And at times, that becomes really significant. We have it written down, but that was real. So Moses at the burning bush gets spoken to from God. We're reading it from the account, but think about it from Moses' perspective.
Sure.
Or at Jesus' baptism, when they hear like, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased, you know, or on the transfiguration, this is my son, listen to him. Like, that's literally somebody, people on earth heard the physical words of God spoken out to the world in that kind of way. So that's
Can you imagine what the audible voice of God sounded like? What would that sound like? I've never really stopped to think what God's voice might sound like.
We always put it in less weird, like, thus saith the Lord. Right. Like, it's really low, blah, 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 whatever. But like, I think because the Bible does talk about maybe like a thunderous sound, but that doesn't seem like that's the case in the burning bush.
Well, and I don't think God was thunderous when he was in the Garden of Eden, walking in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve.
No, and then you have the case where Moses is put in the cleft of the rocks and There's a still whisper, right?
Sure.
Like, oh, interesting. So it's
Well,
a
it,
pretty broad thing, right?
sure. And then if Jesus is the embodiment of the Word of God, right? When Jesus is walking on the earth, I don't think he went thundering around as he's walking with his
No,
disciples.
I think you read some of this stuff and you think he's talking like a person. He's not talking in some weird, overt, low.
Sure.
He's a person, right? And it's relatable. Adam walking with the Lord in the cool of the day in the
Right.
garden, and they're talking. It's not some, I can't imagine it's some bizarre, weird thing. So you have that, okay? So you have God speaking in that way. You have God's word in written form from God. So think about this. So in Genesis, God wrote the first set of tablets. God wrote them with his finger. Like he wrote the
Yeah.
tablets. So and who knows where those are now? Okay, we've lost the ark. There was broken pieces because Moses comes down with those tablets and breaks them and then has to carve them all out and rewrite them. And they put all
Right.
stuff in the ark and all that, right? So somewhere in the world, there are stones, if they're not completely deteriorated, that have God's handwriting carved in them. God's has
Yeah.
a handwriting. And then God wrote on the wall in Daniel, a finger of God
Oh, yeah.
wrote, and it was
Right.
Hebrew, and they went to get Daniel to read it because no one could read it. But that he has a style, a handwriting, a font, God's font that somebody with their eyes saw. So God directly wrote words. He directly spoke words, and that's the word of God. And then you also have God speaking through ambassadors, where
Yeah.
God says, you say this. And so
Right.
God dictates exactly what those people are supposed to say. And we can read that in scripture, right? Like, this is the dictated words that God told the people to say. But then also, the account we read about that whole thing coming to pass is being written by people that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we have scripture where it's like, thus saith the Lord. We also have narrative scripture all around those parts of scripture that's still God's word. So the written accounts are the word of God, right? And sometimes they're very aware of that. Sometimes they're less aware of that. Sometimes it's like, well, let's go to Revelation or some of the visions. But Revelation's a really good one. God says, write down what you see. So now
Right.
you have a human being trying to describe something that he's never seen before because it's outside of creation and it's a vision, right? And so he's trying to describe things that are divine in earthly terms, and that's the word of God. So
Right.
all of this is in our Bible, most, I mean, but not with all the nuanced detail. So all of this becomes the word of God, and then we have it to us in a written form through a wide variety of these things. So to answer your question, what is the word of God? A definition, like, it is the message of God revealed to his people or decreed to creation.
Sure.
That would be the full, whole word of God.
So
So that's
repeat that
not all the
again.
Bible. It's like the word of God decreed to all of creation,
Yeah.
and also maybe the word of God delivered or revealed to his people.
Sure.
So I don't know. I don't, that's a big answer to a pretty
Well,
simple question.
and Nolan, it's really intense when you really pause and step back and really take the time to think about how the Word of God has changed, or from a spoken word to a written word, just over time. The time when God was speaking with his people, in the Garden of Eden, he's walking with Adam and Eve, but then when you get to the time of the judges in 1 Samuel 3, it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days,
Yeah,
as
yeah,
God's
yeah.
not speaking through a prophet or anything, and there's some silence there. And I think being in a generation who has the Bible, the written word of God, so easily accessible, it's hard to imagine a time when God is not speaking. The 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, or times when God would only speak through the prophet,
Right. No, we're blessed. We are incredible. And even in the time of the judges, they had God's revelation on Mount Sinai, the law to Moses, they had
Right.
all of that, but it was so more rare because of the complexities of what it took to have the scripture, So maybe it was only in one or two locations where people could consult it. The kings were supposed to consult it and then write it down for themselves. That book would have been expensive. You're using paper reeds of
Right.
plants mashed together, or more likely, you're using cow hides that took a lot of cattle, and you're using the hides that have to be treated, or you're using stone, which would have taken forever to chisel, or like you're writing instruments. None of
So,
this stuff was like, I'm just going to go down to the bookstore, or I'm going to go on Amazon and have it just this paper thing with really thin paper with whatever. We are in a time where we have the Bible, the Word of God, so accessible. It's on our phones. We can listen to it. We can read it. It's everywhere. And I don't think we even stop to recognize how amazing that is.
absolutely. I mean, and there's one thing to think of, like people walking the earth in the New Testament period when we have the Torah, but it's very limited, and maybe it's only in the synagogues, right? Because of how expensive it is and the paper it's on. But then even more recently, before the Reformation, we have times when the church and the Bible isn't written in the modern language,
Oh,
the everyday
right.
language of man, right? And so you have to just go with whatever the priest or, the bishop is saying that the Word of God says versus having it in your lap for yourself.
Well, we need to remember too, we're reading a translation. So what a
Right.
blessing that we have so many translations of
Yeah.
people who've dedicated their lives to studying the Word of God, the manuscripts that we have, the things we've found. We have archaeology. Like, I mean, it is amazing how much has gone into what we are blessed with compared to what
Sure.
earlier generations didn't have anything like this. It's remarkable.
100%. So obviously we have the written word of God, we have the Bible, we have the canon of scripture, and maybe not on this episode, but on another episode, we'll talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament and how we got our canon and things like that. But as we're talking about the Word of God on this episode and the spoken Word of God specifically, and you've mentioned God spoke directly to people
Yep.
throughout history. He wrote on the wall with the finger of God we see writing on the wall. He spoke through prophets back then.
Yep.
Does God?
He inspired people. So
Sure.
there's a whole we should probably spend a whole episode on kind of what is inspiration. We should probably define some of the terms we're using, like canon, but he inspired people and worked in them to write things. Some people hold that everything was just verbally dictated, but all the books are a little different. He's using the person in a special way. He's bringing about certain things to bear. So it's not even just thus saith the Lord. It's even just a sense of inspiration where Paul can say at one point, I can't remember where this is, but he says, not me, but the Lord. And what he's referring to, and then later he says, not the Lord, but me. He's saying, look, I'm quoting Old Testament here, but now I'm providing something. And then later he says, I'm not quoting Old Testament, I'm providing something. And yet Peter calls Paul's writing scripture. So like there is this, like it's big, right?
We see
Anyway.
scripture, affirmed by the other apostles, things like that. So we'll dive into that. But my question here for today's episode right now is, do you think that God still audibly speaks to people today?
Oh, that's a tough question. I'm going to say, can God audibly speak? Is there, I don't take the cessationist position on the miraculous being totally ceased, but I think now that we have this word readily available, superintended by the Holy Spirit, written down in word form, it's clearly to me substantially much less. If someone came to me and said, man, I think I literally heard the word of God in my head, I'm not going to say, no, you didn't. It needs to be measured against what God's already said, right? Against all the stuff we have written down. And, but there are times like I've felt so close to getting a sense of God's will that it just seemed audible to me. But could I have said, wow, that's a totally recognizable voice that I'd recognize if it was spoken repeatedly? I don't know. Like, no. So does God still speak in the way that he did in the Old Testament through a representative, through a prophet? Thus saith the Lord, this man's lips speak as if they're speaking God's exact words. I don't think we see that today. I think that has ceased. John the Baptist seems to be that last prophet. Christ comes, Christ brings the Holy Spirit, the helper. Now we have not prophets, but apostles, right? That changed. Jesus didn't set up a bunch more prophets to go speak for him. He set up apostles, witnesses. Then the apostles wrote this stuff down, and now we have elders and the church and Christians inspired by the or moved by the Holy Spirit to take the inspired word and proclaim that. So I think God is speaking to us, but not through those same audible words like he occasionally did in the Old Testament. I think we need to remember there wasn't prophets running around just speaking all the time, like you mentioned in Judges. Like sometimes he did, and that was a pretty miraculous thing, but you're talking about a span of a couple thousand years. And by the way,
Right.
the canon we have, the book that we have, is like a 1500, 1600 year span of time, and about 40 different human agents, authors that came along in the process of this, plus, some of the other people who spoke that are still written down that weren't the authors of the book. So I think we have what we need. That's sufficiency. We'll talk about that. And I
Sure.
don't think that God is speaking audibly like he did in the Old Testament, if
Yeah.
that's fair.
Well, and that's another thing that we don't think about too is how long it took to compile what we call scripture in the Bible.
Oh,
This is
yeah.
across centuries, to get to where we are today.
Which I think we should address that at some point too. It's not that, hey, this got compiled and it was changing and they were deciding, because we have a bunch of scrolls that have been found. We have things that verify the message has been very consistent. But
Sure.
you're right, like they didn't have it like in a book we have. They had multiple different scrolls in the Old
Yeah.
Testament, in the New Testament. It seems that you have moments in the Old Testament where they say, oh, and it's still like this to this day. And so it seems like there's a future time when that was not, it wasn't that it was being written right in the moments as it was happening. Seems like some of this stuff was compiled maybe during the Babylonian exile, because you have Ezra. There's a statement about Ezra compiling this, maybe some others, the name of some of those people. So we need to
So,
recognize that God has been walking this whole process,
right.
superintending it, managing it the whole way to bring his word to us today, which is pretty stinking cool.
So, if we're of the mindset of, God doesn't audibly speak, to us today the way we see and do that in Scripture, would it be fair to say that the Lord speaks to us through the Holy Spirit and through the reading of His Word, where He illuminates the text and we see new things as we're reading through
Well,
Scripture?
even if he doesn't illuminate the text, let's start with this. Even if he doesn't do that, is this God's message to us? Yeah, absolutely. I believe that. It claims that's what it is. So you could be reading scripture and it claims it is a message from God.
Yeah.
So even if the Holy Spirit's not acting, meaning some lost person is reading it and they don't believe it, they would
Right.
still go, this book claims it is from God.
Right.
So now the question is that true or not true? Well, if I believe it's true, God is speaking through the book. Then I also believe that the Holy Spirit, that the school teacher, the counselor that comes along, illuminates that and brings to bear its truthfulness. It's a gift in our soul to see that. Our eyes are opened. That's the working of God as we hear his word to understand it and to respond to it. So, yeah, I believe that God is definitely still speaking through his word, whether you reject it or not. I believe that the Holy Spirit is coming along with that word and bringing it out and bringing it to bear and helping us miraculously to see the meanings and see the way that God is communicating in our lives, that we can apply that to our lives, opening blind eyes, all that, regenerating us, giving us this heart for God's word. I see all that too.
Yeah.
And then I think the next question that comes is, does the Holy Spirit speak to us apart from God's word? Well, that's impossible because the Holy Spirit is God. So if the Holy Spirit is
Right.
speaking, that is from God's word. I think today, if someone were to come and say, hey, the Holy Spirit's telling me blank, I
Right.
think the principles we see in the New Testament and just wisdom would say we need to measure that against what the Holy Spirit's saying through a group of people. Paul and Barnabas are worshiping. There's a whole list of the elders listed, and it's through all of them that the Holy Spirit
Yeah.
says, set apart for me. Not one person going, it must be X. Not to say that's impossible, but that seems to be a principle that if God wants a church to do something, God's going to speak to more people in the church than maybe one. Now, there's some that are
Right.
going to disagree with me, but
Sure.
that seems to be the principle here. And then on top of that, if God has already spoken, in his word that we have written down, he is not going to speak inconsistently of what he has said
Sure.
before,
Yeah.
right?
He's not
There's,
going to contradict himself,
that's right.
so.
He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's not changeable in that way. So we have to gauge anything we believe the Holy Spirit is leading us or speaking us to see against what God has already said. So I think
Okay.
just I, really what I'm getting at is when someone walks up to a microphone and then tries to do the Old Testament prophet thing, the
Right.
Lord told me, blah,
Right.
blah, 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 blah. I don't think that's the operation we see in the New Testament. Not
Yeah.
like that. I think that's taking this in a little bit misguided way, but that's just me. There are many people who would
Right.
argue with me, and if that's you, you can email me.
Yeah,
What's our
absolutely.
email address?
Saltybeliever@gmail.com.
Yeah, let me
So
know.
drop us a line or fill out the contact page on our website, saltybeliever.com. Hey, as we're kind of wrapping up, I just have one last question then. As we're beginning this new series and we're looking at this introductory episode on the Bible, why is the Word of God important? Well, why do we need the Word of God?
Oh, that's
Well,
the best
I
question.
know that's a pretty loaded question, but what's maybe one reason that somebody should want to know more about what the Bible is and why the Word of God is important?
I'm going to appeal to the Bible itself, and I'll start with Judges. The theme of Judges, if you read that, you'll see the theme repeated. The real line that comes out over and over and over again as is, and each was doing what was right in his own eyes.
Sure.
And they're all doing different stuff, and they're all sinning, and they're all wicked, and it is a disaster. And so if we take that forward and say, why do we need the Bible? That's because the Bible is the guide that we would do what is right in God's eyes. And repeatedly here, if you obey my commandments, that's in Deuteronomy and 1 Samuel, all over the place. If you obey what God has said, then there's a blessing. And if you reject what God has said, there's a sense of curse. And so if you obey, you're walking in God's word. Well, you got to know what God's word is. So
Yeah.
on the first front, I'll just say, it's important because that's how we understand God's will for us. Now I'm going to go a little further and to go to like Romans 1 or some of the writings of Paul in other places. It is the power of the gospel that saves. Romans 1:16. It is the revelation of who Jesus is, his death, burial, his resurrection, that gives us the truth of who Jesus is. And so if God saw fit to put it in a book, and
Right.
that's how he'd communicate it, then that is the means by which we should learn it and know it. And then when we proclaim it, we don't go proclaim our own message. We represent the king. We proclaim his message. Well, where's his message? It's written in the Bible. So why
Yeah.
is the Bible important? So that we don't do what is right in our own eyes, so that we're following the will of God, and that we have his words to proclaim to others so that they can be saved and do the same.
I love it. That's our new series, The Bible, where we're going to be diving deep into what scripture is. So if you don't understand terms like inerrancy or canon, stay tuned. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss anything. Grab a friend, share this with someone so that they can listen with you. As we kind of close out this episode, I just want to end with this verse from Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path." Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Salty Believer Unscripted is a production of saltybeliever.com. Visit the website to find more resources like the podcast you've just listened to.